In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being the governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Euturia and Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Church, in the second Sunday of Advent, introduces us to the person of St. John the Baptist in the Gospel for the Liturgy. St. John the Baptist is a very interesting person. Now, not a whole lot is known about him in the Scriptures, but we learn some essentials. When we read the stories in the Gospel about St. John the Baptist, we learn that he is the final prophet that God sends into the world before the coming of the Savior. That his mission is to prepare people to follow the Lord Jesus, to be disciples of Christ. And this mission moves him to tell people to repent of their sins. The Gospel says John went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance. Now he will do this for the rest of his life, simply dedicate himself to the cause of telling people to repent of their sins so that they can follow Jesus. This mission of his will lead to his martyrdom. As we know from elsewhere in the Gospel, we know that he publicly criticized King Herod for engaging in the grave sin of adultery. King Herod and the woman with whom he was living in this serious sin of adultery didn't like to hear this message of St. John the Baptist, so they had him imprisoned, and eventually he was put to death. So he dies for the mission of calling people to repent of their sins. Now, either St. John the Baptist is crazy and he made a mistake in giving himself to this mission, or he was the wisest person around. Either he's completely wrong and his message is not worthy of anyone's attention, or he's really a prophet sent by God, a man wiser than all the people around him, a man whose message must be taken seriously. As Jesus will teach elsewhere in the Gospel, St. John the Baptist is a prophet. He is, therefore, the wisest man around. In fact, Jesus extols him as being one of the greatest men to have walked the earth. St. John the Baptist had a message that surely was not popular. You can imagine if you had this mission, if you went around to everyone you know and said, repent of your sins, look at what you're doing wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong, repent, repent, repent. You wouldn't be too popular. Neither was St. John the Baptist, but you know, regardless of his popularity, he was right. He had the heavenly wisdom. He was the wise man around people who were foolish. The teaching of St. John the Baptist is clear. Sin is real. And sin is the problem. And sin is serious. There's a section in the Catechism of the Catholic Church that speaks about sin and defines it, and it says some several interesting things about what sin is, and it's good for us to understand this. The Catechism teaches that sin is an offense against God, that sin sets itself against God's love for us and turns our hearts away from it, turns our hearts away from God's love. Sin is an utterance, a word, a deed, or a desire contrary to the eternal law. So sin is something you can say, something you can do, or something you can desire that goes against the will of the Lord. And the Catechism also says this, that sin wounds the nature of man and injures human solidarity. And from this we understand that sin is bad for us. It wounds the nature of man. It wounds our own nature. You know, some people, when we hear the word sin, we simply think that it's an offense against God. But the Catechism wants us to understand that it's also against ourselves. So if I sin, the one who is hurt the most is me. If someone steals your property, the one who suffers the most is the thief. because he has sin on his soul. He has gone against what's good for him. Sin wounds the nature of man because every man and woman is made for God and made to follow the Lord. So sin is bad for us. It goes against our own good. It wounds the nature of man. And sin injures human solidarity. That is the oneness that we have from our common origin, our common destiny, our common humanity. Sin wounds this unity that we have. Sin hurts relationships. It always does. There really is no sin that does not somehow wound the solidarity we should have. This happens in marriage, which would be the greatest example of solidarity. It happens in families and religious communities or in the world and among nations. Sin injures human solidarity, and it's bad for us individually. St. John the Baptist knows this. He knows how terrible sin is for us. And this is why he gives his life to the difficult but noble cause of telling people to repent. Prepare the way for the Lord. That's what he is doing. He's preparing the way for the Lord by telling people to turn away from their sins. Now, this mission sounds negative. You know, he's telling people, turn away from this, you're doing something wrong, don't do this, don't do that. It's something that goes against our contemporary desire to keep things positive. People today want to say, instead of criticizing someone, simply affirm them. Now, it's often good to affirm others. We do this in school when we're teaching kids. We affirm them when they get a good grade. But St. John the Baptist doesn't move in that direction. He tells people, repent of your sins. In fact, he's very serious. He calls a group of people a brood of vipers because of their sins. It seems as if he insults them. So his mission seems to be out of touch with our contemporary desire to keep things positive. But his mission is really not negative. His mission really is positive. Think about what happens to him. Who has a more positive mission? St. John the Baptist in calling people to repent of their sins, or King Herod, who commits the sin of adultery and then murders St. John the Baptist or orders someone to murder him? King Herod is not living a positive way of life. What is so positive about St. John the Baptist and his mission, even in his call to repent? Well, he wants to move us into a relationship with the Lord Jesus. If sin moves us against God's love, then St. John the Baptist wants us to return to God's love. When he tells the people to repent, and even when he's harsh about it, he's really trying to move people into a living experience of God's love for them. You know, it's one thing to believe that God loves you, but it's a whole other thing to live it, to experience the truth that God loves you. And St. John the Baptist wants to move people into that living experience of God's love, something which sin has taken them away from. In this regard, St. John the Baptist is not some moralistic preacher just trying to make people feel bad about themselves by simply pointing out their sins and that's it. No, he is telling people the way to live life to the fullest by following the law of the Lord. He's telling people how to live well. He's telling people about a new way, an ever new way of life, a way of life that never gets dull, that of loving God with our words, with our actions and our desires. Poor adulterous King Herod and murderous King Herod, he doesn't experience this newness of life, this newness of loving God with his words, with his actions and desires. His life is the one that is negative and that is stagnant. In this light, the mission of St. John the Baptist is one that is positive, one that will make our lives better, more vibrant, more interesting, and more human. Now, in the Gospel for today's liturgy, St. Luke quotes from the prophet Isaiah how the mission of St. John the Baptist and the coming of the Messiah will be illustrated. He talks about filling up valleys and flattening mountains and hills, straightening a crooked way and smoothing out a rough way. This sounds more like the work of a great excavating machine that moves rocks and things like that. But it's really the work of the prophet, St. John the Baptist. Some of the fathers of the church, the ancient fathers of the church, when they were studying this teaching of the prophet Isaiah, said that the valleys and the mountains and hills, the crooked ways and the rough ways, don't have to do with landscape, but they have to do with people, their hearts and their minds. The great preacher of the 4th century, St. John Chrysostom, said that the mountains represent those who are arrogant, those who from above look down upon others, sort of in derision and disrespect. They even look down upon God. They look down upon His law. They are arrogant, filled with that pride that the devil put into the hearts of Adam and Eve. The hills represent those who are reckless and those who despair, going up and down and in life and bearing no fruit. Another father of the church, St. Gregory, says that the crooked ways are those whose course in life was ruined by their own practice of injustice. You know, injustice, even on a small degree, takes your life's path and makes it crooked. It could be the injustice of not telling someone the truth who deserves the truth, or some economic injustice on a small scale or even on a large scale. Injustice makes your life crooked. St. Gregory says the rough ways represent those who are fierce. Now, we can understand that today we need St. John the Baptist. Our age is an age that has examples of these mountains and hills, these crooked ways and rough ways. We need the preaching of St. John the Baptist. There are people today who are arrogant, who look down upon everything and everyone that's not themselves. They look down upon others. They look down upon God. They look down upon any admission of truth, moral truth or religious truth. They'll say, there is no truth except what I believe. That's arrogance. That's the height of arrogance. They look down upon God and upon everything. There are today people who are reckless, like the hills. They make decisions that are reckless, and then they despair when things don't go well. There are people who are fierce, who engage in unjust violence toward others, in the world, in our streets, in families, even against the elderly and the unborn. We need St. John the Baptist. We need to hear the preaching of St. John the Baptist. He is a prophet for today. He needs to go forth again, that message of telling people to repent of their sins. And you know something? We need this spirit of preaching in the church. He would not be afraid to tell people to repent of their sins, to tell people that what they're doing is sinful and bad for them. And it's blocking their relationship to the Lord and therefore blocking their own flourishing in their own humanity. He would not be afraid to tell anyone on a more local situation, at some social gathering, or even on a larger situation. He could criticize a politician or some great leader for their sinfulness, even for their sinful policies. He would not be afraid. Why? Because he's serving the Lord and he loves the people he serves. That's why he tells them to repent. He serves the Lord, and he's actually serving those people who are poor sinners. He tells them to repent because he loves them and he wants them to live life to the fullest. Dear brothers and sisters, every one of us, to some degree or another, at one time or another, needs to be on the receiving end of the preaching of St. John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know what often happens is someone might be in church and they'll hear a good homily where the preacher preaches against sin, which they should hear from time to time. They'll hear some inspiring homily and say, you know what, that's a great preacher. The person on the other side of the church really needs to hear his sermon. Or they might hear this message I'm giving now and say, oh, someone else needs to hear this. Well, every one of us, myself included, needs to hear this message of repentance. We must, at one time or another, to some degree or another, be on the receiving end of this urgent call to repent. And so, brothers and sisters, let us be convinced that to acknowledge our sins, to confess our sins, and to repent of our sins is good for us. Some people say they don't want to turn away from their sins and acknowledge them because it's too painful. Yes, it can be. It can be quite embarrassing. But it's bad to live in sin. It's bad for your own happiness and your own growth in human solidarity with others, which really is an essential purpose of our life's existence. It's good for us to acknowledge our sins and repent of them. If we don't acknowledge our sins, we're trapped. We'll never get out of them. and they will trap us for eternity. St. John the Baptist teaches us that they don't have to trap us. There is a way out of our sinfulness, and that way out is humility, to acknowledge our sinfulness, to confess them, our sins, and to repent. We can repent. By repenting of our sins, this is good for us, it makes us more of what God wants us to be, and more of what others need us to be right now. This is something that is important for us to understand, that God wants us to be holy. One of the great calls of the Second Vatican Council is this thing called the Universal Call to Holiness. Every one of us is called to be holy, to be a great saint. And others around us need us to be holy. There are people in your life that need you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, that need you to be a holy man or a holy woman. There are people who are depending upon your holiness, your love for the Lord. When we are holy, that holiness spiritually is transmitted to people around us, and we can think more clearly in how we make our decisions. St. John the Baptist is our friend, not our enemy. When he tells us to repent, he's giving us good advice that we should heed. Not only will St. John the Baptist prepare us for the coming of Christ at the end of time with his call to repentance, but if we heed his message day in and day out, his message will help us to experience more fully the truth that God loves us.